Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Welcome to all of you from Washington, D.C. I'm Chris Efesiou, and this is Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood. Today, I want us to consider a fact that nearly 10 million Americans are living with every day. That is, adult children caring for their aging parents. All too often, adult children find themselves in a labyrinth of decisions when a parent needs care outside of the home. Sorting out where a parent will live, health insurance, live-in wills, or power of attorney may be an overwhelming process even for the most prepared among us. And of course, there is the expense of it all. According to MetLife, an increasing number of adult children are helping to defray their parents' expenses by paying an average of $3,500 per month. Much has been written and discussed on the subject over the last few months, including NPR's Tell Me More show that did a special segment nearly a week or so ago, from which I'm quoting certain facts. From parenting children to parenting parents. To help us understand and prepare for this shifting paradigm, I'm pleased to have with us my guest, Cynthia DiLorenzi. Cynthia is the founder and CEO of Success in the City. She is also an international speaker, an artist, social media expert, serial entrepreneur, and social commentator on the status of women in the world. In 2006, Washington Business Journal selected her as one of the top 25 women who mean business. Smart CEO magazine awarded her the Breva Award in 2009. She was awarded Smart CEO's Circle of Excellence by her peers, as well as recognized by Enterprising Women in 2010. Her organization, Success in the City, has been featured in the Washington Post, NPR, Northern Virginia Magazine, and many others. I know you'll have questions for her, so please join us by calling 1-866-472-5788 or email me at chris@straightupwithchris.com. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Chris, I am delighted to be here, and I'm thrilled to have an opportunity to talk about this fascinating topic that's affecting so many Americans and people around the world today.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine. So please tell us a bit about yourself, your organizations, and your many interests and activities.
Well, I am a serial entrepreneur, meaning I am fascinated by business and sharing great innovative ideas. I come from the tech sector. I used to be the CEO of the North Texas Technology Council, and before that, a political advocate. I'm a world traveler. I was raised all around the world. I never attended a school more than 1 year my entire life growing up. I've been in every state in the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii. We're Italian, and I have a strong Italian family, and I now live in Washington, D.C., and I moved here in 2002 following the death of my brother from Dallas, Texas, to take over the IT company and care for my parents. So that's what brought me here.
Fascinating. Where can our listeners find more information about you and your activities?
Well, you can Google Cynthia DiLorenzi, and you'll see more information than you ever want to, but you can go to successinthecity.org. You can Google Success in the City. We also have a channel on YouTube called just go to YouTube and look up Success in the City. We're on Facebook. We're on Google Plus. We are out there everywhere, and we love engaging in great conversations with other people and help them share great ideas. We like to share innovative thoughts and really just build an extraordinary community of all these great people we have the opportunity to get to know and work with.
Wonderful. So children parenting parents, it seems as though if it's not happening to you, you know somebody who is going through this very interesting station in life as we speak. Why do you suppose this is happening now?
You know, it's really interesting, and we've had an opportunity to speak before, and I know you, Chris, because you're an incredible author, and we've shared our views about parenting. And you come not from America, and I was raised around the world, and I lived in Japan for 5 years, and I recall how culturally parents are integrated into caring for their children. So it was often that we saw walking throughout the city of Tokyo, you would see grandparents nurturing their baby. And it was such a common sight, I never thought anything about it. But for Americans, what happened was that we did not really have that as part of our culture. For the most part, we would see that our grandparents died prior to our adulthood, so we did not have the opportunity necessarily, although there, I know there's an exception to every rule, but we did not have the opportunity to witness our parents parenting their parents and have that skill set, that experience to pull on as we prepared to go into adulthood. I didn't anticipate this being part of my life. So it is really important we begin dialoguing about this, talking about the impact, the financial responsibilities, the emotional impact, how it impacts the entire family when you have parents moving in. My situation is a little bit different in that I moved from Texas and moved into my parents' home. And it's always different whose home you move into because that's the person who makes the rules. So we had to go through some different shifts as we began to accommodate this new shift of living together, and something I never expected in my life.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting that you mentioned that people are living longer, and an interesting statistic I found is that in 1950, the life expectancy for Americans was just about 68 years of age.
Right.
And 60 years later, it has jumped by 11 years to 79 years of age. And of course, many are exceeding that. There are 6 million Americans who are over the age of 85, and somehow intuitively that number seems small to me. There's an awful lot of people I know who are over the age of 80. And the biggest problem is that getting old gets expensive, and the medical care and other related care for people over 80 quadruples. In fact, most statistics will tell you that better than 80% of the healthcare dollar is consumed above the age of 65, and the vast majority of that above the age of 75.
It's so, creating a crisis in our country. Medical care is a crisis in our country, especially as we look at this aging population that's extended life. And my mother used to say things to me, and God bless my mother, she passed away 2 years ago, but she used to say sometimes, there are things worse than death. And my family was particularly fortunate. My father was in the military. My mother benefited from those benefits, and my stepdad was in the military. So they had the benefit of having those kind of resources to help cover their needs throughout the end of their life, but it was very expensive. You know, my mother had a major heart attack. There were thousands, if not more than $1 million, spent on her care. And when you begin to look at that, which was worth every dime to us to have our mother with us, but you begin to recognize, what if we did not have that financial opportunity to provide that care to her? I don't know what we would have done. But so it's really something we have to be aware of. My own nephew and niece right now, they just had their second baby, and her mother's been diagnosed with such a serious form of diabetes that she's not even able to work now and did not have retirement prepared for, and they're now having to help support her. That is a huge pressure on young growing families.
Absolutely. And we all know families who are actually dipping into their own retirement funds to support their aging parents or manage their care and the like. And that coming at the heels of a pretty nasty economic stretch that we have had, it's almost like a double whammy. And there is not enough money, they are earning enough or growing enough to begin with, and then from whatever little growth there is, a much larger chunk needs to be taken out in order to pay for the care of the aging parents.
It seems like everywhere you look, the prices are rising and income is falling. It just seems like we are so disproportionate to where we are, and the strains and the responsibilities are beginning to show strains on the American people. And I think it's something we really need to be talking about. We've got to find resources. We've got to build our communities. And it was really interesting because I do a lot of research on innovation and how we need to build our communities. And one thing, which this was like 20 years ago, I read this about actually developing community plans so that you have mixed-use family community so that you maybe have a home for a small growing family, but then you maybe have a community kitchen and you have senior citizens who are also sharing in the space, and maybe single parents, single people, so that you have this greater sense of resources developed right there that somebody's watching out for you. We're lucky. I was here and able to be here to be supportive to my parents. A lot of people, that's not the case. And I can't even imagine the stress I would have felt had I been living in Texas knowing what was going on in my family environment. It was because I was able to come here. My mother was able to stay in her home, which was the most important thing to her. Had I not been here, we would not have been able to do that. And I think that would have shortened her life because that was something that was so important to her. But we've got to begin to think about what this is doing culturally and economically to our country, because it's a real strain. And we don't want to shatter the family. We want to continue to have the family be able to be together and live healthily and emotionally well together. So those are some of the things we need to be thinking about. And we need to provide support to these young families, these mothers and fathers who are heroically trying to keep it all together. It's such a strain. I don't know how they're doing it, because I don't know how I did it.
You're absolutely right. And it would appear to me that, I guess, our generation of parents has to have the talk, in quotes, twice. Once with their children and once with their parents. And I'm not, I know what that talk was with my daughter. And I am fortunate enough to have a mother who is nearly 79 years old in reasonably good health, that she was very proactive in doing certain things that I'd like to talk about in a minute. And that is actually paving the road for the senior to be able to live a life the way that they envision the life to be, as opposed to finding themselves uprooted, placed somewhere that they may not want to be in. And of course, there are times where that is beyond somebody's ability to care for a person. If you require such care that cannot be provided at home, then of course that's an understandable eventuality. But that is not the case in every case. But whenever it can be avoided, it can be, and it's always easier if you have the acquiescence, the agreement of the other party, as opposed to trying to create the rules. And of course, some people, regardless of age, they do not take to change very easily, but almost without exception, the elderly are the ones least likely to accept change without pushback. Lots to talk about, lots of things to delve into, but it's time for us to take a short break. So we will be back in a minute or two. I'm Chris FSU. I'm here with my guest, Cynthia DiLorenzi, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris FSU understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. Call us with your questions and comments on 1-866-472-5788 or email me at chris@straightupwithchris.com. I'm your host, Chris Efesiou. I'm here with my guest, Cynthia DiLorenzi. And just before we went on break, we were talking about the preparation of both sides, the adult children and the aging parents, in making that transition of the parent being parented as smooth as possible. And I had mentioned that it would appear that our generation of parents needs to have the talk twice, once with their children and again with their parents. And one of the best approaches is to discuss this with the elderly parent and say something along the lines that I want to talk to you about how you envision your final chapters of your life to be lived out, and get their input, their buy-in into what you have in mind, because you may be surprised at what they may have in mind, be surprised pleasantly or otherwise. Would you agree with that, Cynthia?
I would. You know, it's really interesting as we were talking about that, and culturally, because I'm a Southern girl, and, you know, there's certain things we talk about and we don't talk about, but being polite is the first thing we are always doing. And I recall that it was very uncomfortable for me to have the conversation with my mom. Not that we didn't have it, but you don't want to have the conversation and feel like, hey, I'm ready for you to get, you know, I don't want to take care of you. What are you going to do? You know, you really want to seem like you're sensitive and that you really are trying to look out for that best interest. And I did have that talk with my mother. Sometimes I would have to be a little bit more firm in having her organize her affairs because I wanted her to understand I have her best interest 100% at all times in my heart, because I wanted things to be smooth for her. If she was in the hospital, I wanted to make decisions for her that were in her best interest. I wanted to respect her wishes, whatever they were at the very end. In fact, my mother passed away in our home. One thing that I had to have, even though she had, it was apparent that she'd been gone for a while when we found her, they want to resuscitate that person. And I had to show them that, no, this is my mother's wishes, because she was already, her body was cold to the touch. And I, you know that there's such risk of bringing somebody back, which is the hardest decision I ever had to make in my life. But I knew what her wishes were, and I wanted to obey those. Conversely, I'm very now want to be very upfront with my children so they are not burdened with having to have that conversation with me. I want to be really listen to them and really understand, and I want them to know that whatever decision I make, that I want them to be the best for my children and to make it easy on them. So it's a tough one. How did you do that, Chris, with your mom?
Unfortunately, I did not have to do this with my mom for two reasons. One is because the necessity wasn't there, because she is in reasonably good health. She's been diabetic for several decades, but at age 79 and with the ailment she has had, knock wood, you know, one can hardly ask for more. But she has been a person who has always been very progressive and forward thinking. She lives in her own home, and my siblings live in the same building just below her. I should parenthetically say here that this is not unlike the Asian culture that you mentioned earlier, that certain cultures, and certainly the Greek culture is such, the parents are revered, and it is an unwritten rule that when they become older and they can no longer care for themselves, the children will care for them. That is a terrific thing for as long as that care can happen within the home. And mercifully, that is the position that my mother is in now. So though she is not in perfect health, she is certainly well enough to be at home. Now picture this. In the family home in Greece, there are three different flats and one smaller flat at ground level. At ground level, it's an office. Used to be my grandparents' apartment. And then on the flat above that lives my brother and his family. The flat above that lives my sister and her family. And the flat above that is my mom. So it truly is an one or two floor maximum staircase hike or elevator ride for any one of her children and grandchildren to go up and visit with her, or for her to hop on the elevator and go one or two flights down. It makes things a whole lot easier, because if she were, just from the simplest things, if she lived in a home like I live here in the U.S., where the bedrooms are in a level other than the first level of the house, that would have been a near impossibility for her to be in that house, because she has significant trouble moving, especially climbing steps. So the logistics are a very large part of it, but the other part is that all too often, and I have the utmost respect and high esteem for both of my siblings for doing what they are doing for my mother, because simply I cannot do it because of the distance. They are there catering to her for whatever she needs. And she is most appreciative, obviously, and loving for it. But turning the clock backward, when I lived back home, this is, I left in 1976. So, in the 60s and 70s, the only time I remember being at home without grandparents living at home was when both of my paternal grandparents passed away a year and two respectively before I left. So I always knew the family home to have initially four adults and myself being the oldest. Parents, my parents and my father's parents. My mom's parents were living in the house next door. So if you cannot be under the same roof, you are as close physically as possible. So it is the proximity, physical proximity, does help to some degree. But what helps without question is the physical condition that the elderly parent is in, because it doesn't matter if you live in the same house. If that person needs advanced medical care, you simply cannot keep them at home. It simply is not safe for the parent nor the child.
Absolutely. You know, a couple of things, you've shared here, because I think it's really fascinating in your culture. And that goes back to our earlier part of the conversation, that looking at building homes and our communities more in this blended style. It sounds like everybody's just adopted to it. I mean, it's adapted. It's like you don't think about it. We're here. It's a topic of conversation. And that's very much what we're talking about in our family. It's like, can we put an elevator in this house? It would be very, very expensive to do it. I know that there is a family home. My sister and her husband, who's Greek, in their family home. They have a summer home up at Lake Sanapee, New Hampshire. It's got 12 bedrooms. It's where all of the family comes together every summer, including me, because we're very much that extended family attitude, would come together. So they've installed elevators, not so much for who's there and now needs it now, which is part of it, but more for as they age, because they don't want their children to be burdened having to get everybody through the steps, because they saw it with their parents before they passed away. So it's being mindful of maybe preparing for a future world where you have blended families, because our home, although I live with my mother, it would have been nice if it had been designed a little bit differently with greater privacy areas, because we just moved in and incorporated in the family. But we did not have privacy inside. We just became this one big, all living together, one family. It might have been a little bit easier for us had we had that.
Absolutely. We have a question from a listener that came to us by email. This comes from Eduardo from Miami, Florida. And Eduardo asks, what do you suppose are the lasting impacts on the family unit, including extended family, when caring for an elderly parent? And what can we do proactively to limit the strain?
I think that is such a, we probably won't have a lot of time before we're going to break, but I think that is a very important question, because it falls, it creates this amazing strain, especially on the caregiving child, the child who's doing the caretaking, and then all of the peripheral extended family who give the child advice. You know, so this creates a phenomenal strain, because it is a burden, and nobody outside of that, of the care, can really understand what they're going through. It is a tough, tough road. Maybe when we come back, Chris, we can talk a little bit more about that, and I'd like to hear your perspective, too.
Absolutely. We have a couple of minutes before we go on break. My suggestion to that will be, again, everything that you do proactively is infinitely better than doing it reactively, because you have the stress and the strain that's imposed upon the family and the individuals when you're being reactive, because you're reacting to something that already happened. So you cannot turn the clock back. It isn't unlike running a business. You can plan it well ahead and execute, albeit with changes along the way. But if you react, that means that you have no plan. And having no plan, it's almost the cliche, if you don't know where you're going, almost any road will take you there. And so some of the challenges that can become opportunities is to actually have those discussions. And I will quote Joan London, formerly of ABC's Good Morning America, that in a recent interview on NPR, she said, if you're an elderly person today and you're listening to this show, the best gift you can give to your adult children is sit them down and have this conversation. This conversation being, how do you envision, how do I as an elderly parent envision the final chapters of my life to be lived out? Let them understand where your finances are and make sure that they have a durable power of attorney, both legal and medical. And that is such a key that most often it is overlooked, or again, nobody wants to talk about it. And because of that, we find that the inevitable happens and we do not know how to materialize the wishes of the elderly parent, which is fortunately the position that you were not in, because you knew exactly how your mother wanted to be cared for, and you asked for her not to be resuscitated. We'll pick that up and much more when we come back, and we will just go on a short break. I'm Chris Efesiou. I'm here with my guest, Cynthia DiLorenzi, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efficiu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities. Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and is the co-founder of BR Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to The Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efficiu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efficiu. I'm here with my guest, Cynthia DiLorenzi, and we're talking about a very important subject, that is children, adult children parenting their parents. And just before we went on break, we talked about the importance of being prepared both emotionally and functionally, and that is not only to have a conversation with the parent ideally long before they run into trouble, but also to have a firm understanding of what their financial situation is, and more importantly, to have the legal instruments, a durable power of attorney, both legal and medical, that will allow the child or children to execute the parent's affairs according to the wishes of the parent. Cynthia, any more comments on that?
I absolutely could not agree with you more. The other thing is that when you move into the caretaker role, and it's usually more often there's a family situation where it's one sibling who either is living there, like in your situation, where your family is right there living in Greece with your mother, and you're here. And or it could be people in the same town, but one is tasked with the responsibility. And this creates phenomenal strain on the caregiver. And it creates strain when somebody comes in and tells them how they should be doing something when they're the ones who are doing it all the time. It creates strain when they don't get downtime. My husband and I have never had a break in our entire life. Since my adulthood, I have been in the caretaking role my entire life. I think maybe 6 months of my life I did not care for somebody. That is a large block of time with a great deal of responsibility, which adds a great deal of strain to somebody. Because remember when you went to sleep and your baby was asleep and you kind of had that brain, we have to wake up? It became the same thing for me when I moved to taking care of my mother because she was in poor health. And you never get that full good night's sleep, because if the phone rings after 9 or before 7 a.m., you know it's most likely an emergency and you're going to be going to the hospital. That's a lot of strain to live under. So bringing support to that person. It's like when you go to Greece, you should be walking in and say, who needs a vacation? I'm here. I'm hanging with mom. You know, that's what those people need. And it sounds like, you know, you even though it's out of love, it sounds critical. It sounds like somebody's criticizing you, even though I don't think it comes off. When you are the one carrying that role, it's a huge strain. So people have got to be nurturing and supportive of the caregiver. And I think it's very hard to do. I think it's a huge responsibility.
It is very hard to do. And again, I've been very fortunate in this respect because both of my siblings will call me whenever they need certain advice, and they will always solicit my advice. Proactively, I have refrained from the very beginning to offering advice or comment, unsolicited comment, because again, that would be purely academic on my part, pontificating about something that it will be empty words without really being there to absorb the brunt of the real work, and therefore it would be somebody almost like an inspector going there to check off to make sure they do it right. They do it right. They do it more than right because they love her and loved my father just as much as I do. And there is not a single thing that I could do more for her than they're not already doing. And therefore, I strongly echo the remark that you made before, and that is supporting the caregiver, because that's pretty much the only thing they need. The rest of it, they have kind of bought into when they opted for providing the physical care for mom or dad or both.
And the one thing I would add is make sure that you extend your appreciation, gratitude, and admiration to the person who's doing it. It meant everything in the world any time that one of my siblings or my kids or one of my nephews or my niece would say, "Anson, you're doing an incredible job, and we thank you so much." There was nothing. You couldn't buy me a gift. You couldn't send me flowers. It was more that the contribution you're making for the well-being, that the benefit of the entire family, is recognized. So I love it when somebody in my family calls and said, "We thank you. We're so glad you're here. We know it's hard." That means everything to the caregiver, because sometimes you feel that you're this invisible person and you're doing so much, and it just means everything. And my sister tells them, the family, "Do you know what Aunt Cindy wants? She wants for you to say thank you." And it means everything.
It does. And unfortunately, thank you is often a word that's used mechanically, or it's forgotten. But there is, though it may not necessarily seem enough when given to someone, since that's the only word in the English lexicon that seems to fit, let's use it, and let's use it for those who really care for the parents that we cannot care for, either because of distance or personal situations or whatever. And we have another email question that is exactly on the topic that we're just discussing, and that comes from Janice from St. Louis. She says, "Thank you for this extremely important topic. I want to ask your guests for any key points she can offer when dealing with an elderly parent that needs assisted care and there are multiple loving siblings and young adult grandchildren who all want the best for the person, yet all have different ideas as to what that best is. As the daughter who has been the main caretaker for our mother, I find it tremendously difficult and heart-wrenching, not to mention the financial challenge. Any suggestions will be appreciated." Thank you, Janice, from St. Louis.
That is a great, great question. You know, you think about all the people. I have a friend who's CEO of a major company here in Washington, D.C. He comes from, I think there were like 9 children in his family. And what they used to do was once a year was Grandma Day. And everybody in the family would go to Grandma's. And they would do those things like wash your windows, fluff the pillows. It was Grandma Day to do. Because you think about when you get older how hard it is to take care of your home. You know, the dust that gets there, the dust under the bed. And I thought, I wish when my mother's alive we had had a day like that. And I challenge anybody here, make a Grandma Day. Everybody shows up, and it's about Grandma. Do whatever she needs. Get her house. Make her feel loved and cared for. Now, going to the question, this is tough. This is tough. One, you've got to go first to the first line. You know, there may be extended family, but for the parent, there's the first line. It's the first line of siblings. And the first thing is, and maybe this is a situation you bring in a mediator, because there are emotional stuff that goes with family. You're Greek. I'm Italian. You know that there's emotional stuff. I don't care what it is. So it could be over pasta. It could be over anything can be emotional for our nationality.
It's all emotional. If there's no emotion, there is no discussion.
Yeah, exactly. Very good point. So it may be a good idea to bring in a counselor or somebody there and say, we need an unemotional moderator. We need to come to an agreement. And the first agreement is, we love our parent, the mother or the father. We love them. We wouldn't be here if we didn't love and care about them. First thing is, how do we get through this? And I think this, our society really needs this. What are the plans in place? Okay, we only have limited resources. What are they? And there are also resources out there inside, I think, in our communities that we maybe don't know. There's like daycare, there's assisted daycare, you know, where they can, families can go, because we also have to work. It used to be different when we were home and could take care of our loved one. Father would go off to work, mother was home, she'd take care of the kids, she'd take care of her mother, take care of the grandparents. Today, we have jobs too, we have careers. Those are demanding. We have to figure out family leave. So these are complicated issues, and I think it may be a great tactic to bring in a specialist. And there could be somebody who's a geriatric doctor, there could be geriatric programs that bring in people that can help you work your way through this. You've got to limit the front line, though. I don't think you can have 20 chefs in the kitchen making the plan. I think you've got to start there. You got to go from the desire of the parent to the ability of the children to support that desire, the resources to back it up, and agreement. And you kind of have to appoint one person who's in charge. It's got to be whether it's Mary, who's available and is able to go to the doctor's appointments, who has got maybe a background in this. Maybe Mary is an attorney, but you've got to kind of have the key person. And then you become very transparent. And it drives my family crazy because I'm overly transparent, but I don't want anybody to ever question my integrity, my decision making. Doesn't mean I don't make mistakes when I make decisions, because I'm a human, but to make sure that nobody would ever second guess my reason for the decisions I made. I hope those answers help. What would you do, Chris?
I think you put it perfectly, and as I'm listening to you speak, it is nothing but strategic thinking I'm hearing, and that is, you have to make the plan, you have to appoint a person, you have to look at the pluses and the minuses, and then somebody has to execute. There is a time for democracy, and there is a time for following the plan. And the democracy time is all around the table. Everybody has their say. But at the end of the day, the person who has to be able to call the shots must be the person who actually administers the care. Because how awful it would be to have somebody dictating what it is that you or I or whomever who is the caregiver must do. And it is no skin off their nose, because they're not doing anything and they're not impacted by it. So it is, I could not agree with you more. Let's take I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to share, you know, sometimes there has to be one person in charge. I remember one time my mother was very ill, and I came home from work and she was really sick. And I said, Mom, we've got to go to the emergency room. She goes, I don't want to go. I'm not going. I said, I'm sorry. When did this become a negotiation? Get your coat on. We're going to the hospital. You've got to sometimes, that's hard to do to your mom. That's very hard.
Oh, it is. And you know, I'm laughing because my own brother has done this to my mother. And it is, he kind of put it in a different way. And I don't know if it was my mom or my dad who passed away about 10 years ago or so, 11. And so he was pretty difficult about going to doctors or actually doing something that it was not his idea. It was not his brainchild. And he put it politely but very succinctly that you have the choice of doing what I'm asking you to do because this is the right thing to do. If you choose not to follow that, then the next time you run in trouble, don't call me.
Yeah,
and it is incredible. incredible how quickly they fall in line and they toe the line. And it makes infinite sense.
It is so true. I remember one time my mother wouldn't eat, and it was funny because I was at office, and my husband, he was home that day, and I said, okay, Mom's got to eat, and she refused to eat. So he called. I said, Larry, I just called to check. He goes, well, Mom won't eat. What do you mean she won't eat? He goes, she just says she won't eat. And so I said, I was mad. I said, I'm on my way home. And he goes, you know, funny, looked at her, he says, well, you're in trouble now. She looked at me and said, you're in trouble because you couldn't get me to eat.
Exactly.
So I marched in the door. I said, from now on, you feed her when it's time to feed her, and you eat when you're given food. You got it? Now I have to go back to work.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it is amazing, not unlike children, it is amazing how quickly they fall in line and they begin to execute. We have another very interesting question, and this comes from Jordan, and it says this. Is there any explanation why we really have the need to help our parents? Is the need to just, is it our need to just do it because we're obligated? Is it the need because we feel blessed helping them, or because we expect from our kids to do the same for us? Don't you think that by helping them, we also help our soul, and at the same time, we attract unlimited courage and love just from a smile, a tear, or just a good word? I am speechless. It is as succinctly put as anything, and it is exactly what we were talking about before. This email came from Jordan, and this is a very family, nuclear family-oriented society, not unlike the Italians or the Greeks.
That is such a beautiful, that is a poet who wrote that.
And indeed.
If there's one word that it's about love.
Oh.
Love is the purest experience a parent and a child have, which is not to dismiss the travails that come along with parenting or being a parent, but it's simply about love. It is your willingness to put aside everything else that may matter to you to be there for someone you love. I left my home in Dallas. I gave up everything I did. I actually spent through my entire retirement to come here and care for my mom. And I did it for love, and I will never regret it. It is simply love. And if one of my children needed me that way, I would not stop in a moment to go to be with them if they needed me. It is simply the purest form of love.
Absolutely. And I will take us on break because I think both you and I need a moment to catch our breath. So stay with us as we go on a short break. This is Chris Efesio with my guest, Cynthia DiLorenzi, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America's Friday channel. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou, and I'm here with my guest, Cynthia DiLorenzi. And we had just finished a very poignant question that was posed to us by one of our listeners. And during the break, a number of other questions came in, and we thank you all for submitting them. Unfortunately, we only have time to take one more. And that is from Nayla from New York City. And it says, I'm not a person who likes to discuss these types of things. It feels too morbid. Any advice to take away the edge?
Chris, that is such a great, important question because it does seem wrong to say the inevitable's coming. How do you want to handle it? So what kind of funeral do you want? And it almost seems like it's trite and it's anything but. But I think the way you approach the conversation, and I know for some people in some cultures it's not as easy to say, I love you. But when you really care about somebody else, you sit down and say, I love you, I care about you, and I want to provide for you what you want. I want to provide the best of my ability to provide what you want or help to guide you or protect you in this journey. It's, you know, and sometimes it's important that you don't just come in and say, I need to see you and I want to do this. Find a place where you maybe are, maybe you set up an environment where you take out a family album and you talk about their parents or your grandparents or remember your siblings or a trip you took. And you say, Mom, you, or Dad, I want you to know how much you've impacted my life and how wonderful you've been in it. And because I care, I really want to make sure, did Grandma, and there's a million ways you can approach this and you'll know in your heart, but you can say, what did Grandma tell you that she wanted to do? Or how did you make that decision? And what do you want me to do for you? Who do you want to do this for you? I want to make sure that whatever it is, I am here for you. And that's very different from coming in and saying, where's the will and what do I get? Versus what do we need to do so that your desires, hearts, needs are met? And that's a very different conversation.
Absolutely. And for those parents who are listening, whether you have elderly parents or not, assume that at some point you'll be fortunate enough to become an elderly parent, and you may find yourself in that situation. Do yourself and your children a favor and just proactively have that conversation with them. That will take the edge off. That will not put your child in a position to have to ask, but you are the person whose future is to be dictated by those decisions, and therefore proffering that unaided and without hesitation will probably do more to take the burden off your child's shoulders than anything else you can do for your child. It is absolutely a heavy subject and a subject to be continued. Join me next week for a very topical discussion, as if this week's it was not. But next week, it's the beginning of graduation time. Our own daughter, Hillary, will be graduating law school next Saturday. Hundreds of thousands of new graduates will receive their degrees in the next few weeks, and many of them will go to start their new jobs, yet others will be moving back home with their families as they continue their job search or consider further studies. Next Thursday on May 10, at the same time, I will be broadcasting from Charleston, South Carolina. My guests will be two families whose children are graduating from College of Charleston, and they are preparing for their impending changes in their lives. One family's graduate is preparing to enter the workforce, while the other family's graduate is preparing to move back home. Together, we will explore how parents can effectively use their business skills to support a seamless transition for their children, whether they're joining the workforce or coming back home for a bit longer. If you're in the area, please stop by and say hello. You can find the details of this event on my website at chrisfsu.com or cdochiefstudyofficer.com. Either way, please join us next week for a great discussion. Cynthia, any parting words for our listeners?
Yeah, this has been a great conversation, and the questions were so powerful. Just remember, as you begin this journey, and know that you're going to possibly have to do it one day, one, prepare your children. Make it easy for them. I think we've all learned that lesson. Two, approach the conversation with parents that you're caring for or elderly. I just, we took care of my uncle who passed away this last year, and he had never married, had no children. So, and we came to him and said, Jack, let's know what you want. And he wept because he was afraid he would be alone, and we assured him he would never go alone. Nobody wants to make the end-of-life journey alone, so extend your hand and help that person, guide them. And don't be afraid to have the discussion. Just bring a great, big, huge batch of love to the conversation, and you'll make it through okay.
Cynthia, please promise that you will be back in a future show to continue this discussion.
Absolutely.
I thank you so much for spending this hour with us and for your valuable insights, and please come back. Please join me next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. I'm Chris FSCU. I'll see you next week.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris FSCU, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.